You are all I need. If it's sincere in your heart, then you have some extra points with the Lord. He will come near you. He will change your life forever. Yes, Lord Jesus, we know that. Because if we seek you with all our hearts, we will be able to find you. Or better, you will allow yourself to be found by us. And if you come closer to you, Lord, we know for a fact that everything else loses importance. All the other things become secondary. Now, this is the type of relationship, Lord, that you desire with us. You know, Lord, I kind of desire that too. I want to be closer to you. And I have failed you so many times. Just like in the time of Adam, where you came at the end of the day, you would come and you would have this conversation with Adam and Eve in the garden. And you were looking forward to those encounters. So much so that on the last day when you came and Adam was not at that same place all of a sudden. He was somewhere else. And you called for him. Adam, where are you? Don't you want to talk to me? So Lord, since then you have longed for a close relationship with us. For so long you have been searching. Come on, people. Come on, Canadians. Come on, Brazilians. Come on, people from the Markham Missionary Church. Come on, come closer. Let's talk. Why are you running away from me? Why? Oh, Lord Jesus, you provided an open door. You provided an open, a complete, an opportunity, a new opportunity for us to come close to you. Where you broke the barriers of sin and you just opened up the full-blown heaven. And the gates were open so we could come and have fellowship with the Father again. All our dirtiness and all our uncleanness has been removed forever. Our sin have been forgiven. And now we are still sometimes run away from you, Lord. We are running after other things, whether it is food or money or trips or cars or sports. We have our mixed priorities. We have completely mixed the whole thing up. We have failed you, Lord Jesus, so bad. Give us another chance, Lord. Give us another chance to improve ourselves. Give us another chance, Lord Jesus, to repent and to say, I am sorry. Lord, this morning, as you're going to be talking about repentance, make it clear to us as to what it really is. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us, Lord, to grasp your amazing truth. Help us to repent so that your name will be glorified and our life will start to make more sense. Our goals in life will make more sense. Our desires, our running after will all of a sudden be changed towards you and not towards the things of this world. Or even the weakness in our faith, Lord, we have fallen in weakness. We have accepted the things of the world and we haven't said anything. We are not getting upset if the world is sinning. We just let it run by. We have sinned, Lord. We have sinned. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would just give us an opportunity to redeem ourselves. Examine our hearts this morning. See, Lord Jesus, if there is anything that is really, really bad, then just move it away. Or even if it is something that is bad, just take it away. Change our hearts and change our minds so that your name will be glorified. And the world will know that we belong to the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that is alive and well. The God that has promised His Son who came and is coming again. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. Holy Spirit, just feel free to walk in the midst of us this morning. Holy Spirit, just feel free to touch our lives and to see where we are failing you and make things right. Help us. We invite you to be present this morning. And we do pray this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And the people of God say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Isn't the Lord good? He is awesome. He has a patience with us you wouldn't believe. But I want to talk about repentance this morning. And repent, if you would bear with me a little bit. Repent means not just regret. Repentance has to do with a change of mind. The word here in Greek is metanoia. Meta, which means mind. Sorry, change. And noia means mind. Metanoia. Say to your friend, your neighbor, metanoia. No, look again in his eye and say, metanoia. You need to change. I need to change. Everybody needs to change. So repent means change your mind. So regret is easy. We know that. Embarrassment is easy. An apology is easy. I mean, you do something to your spouse and then, hi, honey, I'm sorry. And I even agree and believe that you really meant it. But guess what? In about a week or two, or maybe the next day, it might happen again. So you kind of regret, or you uttered an apology, but there wasn't really a change of mind completely. So regret is easy, embarrassment is easy, an apology is easy. But repentance, on the other hand, is very, very hard. Repentance involves two things: a change of mind and a change of behavior. You repent of something, and then if you really repent that you have changed your mind and you know, oh, this is really not good, I will change my behavior. I will not do this anymore. So it goes deeper than just a simple apology or regret. It's interesting, too, that what is our, you know, and here's the thing. Jesus Christ, what was his first message? What did he say? What was his first word? As he came into the world and he started officially his ministry, what did he say, number one? What was the first word? Who said that? That was Bill. He must have read his Bible. It's exactly what it is. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Or the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. He went out to the world from the wilderness and he went out to speak. But you know, did you know that his cousin, John the Baptist, what did he say? as he was in the wilderness. What was his message number one? You know, that's my man right there. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let me tell you one other thing. Which is the oldest book in the Bible? Anybody? The oldest book, the first ever book written in the whole, from the Old to the New Testament. Did anybody know? Job. Now, guess what's the message of Job? Yes, anybody? Repent. Let me read it. Job, the oldest book in the earliest book in the Bible says, speaking about the Lord, he makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent from evil. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. That's Job chapter 36, what it is written in the first ever written book in the Bible. Now, the prophet Isaiah 59 verses 20 record these words directly from God. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. Now, there is a hidden message in this one. The text says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those of Jacob who repent. It's a good possibility that who do not repent, the Messiah will not come to. Jesus Christ, the Messiah whom they were expecting, said, you know what? I will come to those who actually are prepared to receive me. I'm actually going to come to those who actually believe in me and to those who are willing to repent. To the others, I will not even come. In fact, Jesus went and threw his message all over the place in the New Testament. Are you guys want to leave too? Go ahead, be my guest. I'm not running after those who don't want anything from me. I am wanting those who want something with me. And that's why Jesus, and then Peter, of course, said, you know, Peter, he's always the first one to answer. What did he say? Well, Lord, guess what? And I remember this story. I was up there in Israel at the Golan Heights all the way up to the northern part, almost the border with Syria is where this conversation took place. Jesus asked, well, who do people say I am? And Jesus said, Peter said, well, you are the Christ. And then another opportunity he said, are you guys gonna leave too? After everything I said, is the message too hard for you? Then might as well be my guest. I'll see you. Goodbye. Peter then said, Lord, we don't have nowhere else to go. You are the one who has the words of life. There's nowhere else where I can go. Here ends my entire search in life. I don't have to search anywhere else. You have it all. He got it. Now, Jesus Christ came to people like that. He came to people that had this type of mindset. He does not come to those who are, no, you know, I'm good. I'm a good person. Be my guest, be a good person. That will not save you at all. We have to repent. We have to prepare ourselves to receive the Messiah, because the kingdom of heaven draws near to those who repent, to those who prepare. Say to the people of Israel, this is in Ezekiel. Sorry, let me read Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord says, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. People that do not repent cannot even serve the Lord, by the way. If you and I want to serve the Lord with a heart that is not willing to change, God will have a very, very hard time to use you at all in his kingdom. He will not want to use you, because he cannot mold you the way he wants. Your heart is hard. And if it's hard, sorry, you can't serve me. Because I am the boss, you are the follower. You decide not to follow me, well, sorry, can't use you. You have to move on. I'll find somebody else that is actually willing, surrendered, that bows down, that gives everything to the Lord, everything he has, and says, you know what, Lord? I am so sorry. My life is without you is dead. In fact, in Christ, we are our life is hidden in Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? We breathe, we live. I am dead, I am crucified. Christ now lives in me. But I have to understand that for this to happen, I will have to go a little deeper in my level of repentance. I have to repent. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 6 and following says this, say to the people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. So first things first in serving the Lord, repent. Think about what is in your mind. What have you been doing? What are you capable of doing? Where is our heart? Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Otherwise, sin will be your downfall. If you do not repent, and how hard it is, you know, this week I went to see the movie Unplanned. For those who haven't seen it, I encourage. Don't take your children necessarily, but if you have an opportunity to watch this movie, this is a story of Abby Johnson. Abby Johnson, she only killed 22,000 children through abortion. 22,000 through her clinic. She was from the Planned Parenthood, working there. She grew up, she grew into this business. And her parents said, this is not really good, is it? I mean, but then, you know, finally, this is a good opportunity, good business opportunity, and this and that. So she went in and she started growing inside that clinic. And as she was in there, she got even called into the room, and there were some little babies already dead, and she touched their hands and all that. And the boss who were hiring her, she said, most people that come in here, they see the little baby, they start crying. You're the first one that don't cry. Hey, you know what? If you don't cry, you are my person. You are the one who's going to be leading this clinic. And she grew in and she became the boss of, and just, you could see it in the people that were portraying in the movie, that there was really not much feeling. It was all about the money. So and so much pay here. The little girls were coming in and they were doing the procedure. And then after a while, and outside the gates, I'm telling you the movie, I won't tell the whole story, okay? But outside the gates, outside the walls, outside the fence, there were a group of people praying. Almost like protesting. You know, you guys are murderers. Come on, look at the young girls come in and they just, 7, 8, 9 weeks, the heart is pumping, you know, and you're just killing these kids and all that. And well, they were praying and praying and praying. And this Abby, all of a sudden, noticed, man, maybe there isn't something is not quite right. Something is not, there's something, you know. And she grew, and she, all of a sudden, as she heard, all of a sudden, as the doctor was doing the procedure, she heard a heartbeat of the baby as the machine was sucking off. You know, I won't go into details here, but she fell and she cried. And as she cried, she went into the bathroom. She almost puked, you know, and she cried and she was getting desperate. And it came to a point, says, you know what? I am done. I am done with this. So she left the clinic, and on one evening after she had done it, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm telling you everything, but you know, she was just quite emotional. But, and trying to make a point here, she was about 3 o'clock in the morning, her husband wakes up and, hey, where's my wife? Well, she was in the living room crying. And she was crying and crying and crying and crying. And she was thinking, how can a God forgive me for what I have done? 22,000. She was desperate. She cried for 3 days. But that was repentance. Of course the Lord forgave her. I recommend you to watch the movie if you have an opportunity. Watch it. It is very polemical. It was, you know, of course the left will say no, it's a choice. It's a pro-choice. No, it's not pro-choice. It's a pro-life. The kid has rights too. So let's. In fact, we were there on Friday. The theater was full to the core. I mean, packed. Even if everybody's speaking against it, I tell you, whoever sees that movie will have a second thought about abortion. So I want to encourage you, but we are talking about repentance. Repentance deeply. And there was not a way she could apologize to whoever. And so we can not really apologize. We have to have a change of heart. It's about the change of heart that the Lord is talking about. Otherwise, turn away from all your offenses, and then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Now, this is Ezekiel speaking. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. It's about us living. God is interested in life. He wants you and me to live, and to live in the fullness, and to have fullness of life. That's what it is all about. God is not interested in punishment. He's not interested in your downfall. He wants you to live and to have a life, and you strive in your life. I mean, you are just moving. Fullness, abundant life is what the Lord is looking for. That's what he wants. And in the New Testament, Jesus' followers also had a lot to say about repentance. Peter said this, repent then. And turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, I know you and I, we all need a time of refreshing. Now, we are living in the summer right now. I heard already this morning, I'm looking forward to go to the cabin and this and, you know, enjoy the lake and all that. It's great. We all need some refreshing times. The Lord has nothing against a refreshing time. He wants you to be refreshed. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out. See, wiped out is, it has to do with your sin all of a sudden. When you sin, it's going to be an extreme accident. Your desire to sin is wiped out. It's repentance. It's a change of mind. Metanoia. Change of mind. That's why. Cry. Point number two in your bulletin there. I think you have it there. Cry, mourn, and repent. Joel 2:9-19. It says, rend your heart. See, this is, when was the last time that you actually cried for having offended the Lord? Or just, whatever. Just did it and it's all right. He forgives, bang. Maybe a little bit of regret, maybe. Maybe a little bit of an apology. But repentance is a deep cry. Oh, Lord Jesus, please, please, please. Reconsider, forgive me. Rend your heart has to do with repentance. Even though, and this is, I'm reading from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and following. Verses 12, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Verse 13, Rend your heart and not your garments. See, this is, has a little bit to do with, you know, you're willing to maybe give a little bit of money or do a little bit of extra volunteer work. That is really rendering your garments. But the Lord is looking for the heart, not for your good deeds, by the way. Your good deeds might be good, but if the heart is not in it, and if you are trying to please God in a sense, well, you know, you did something bad, now I'm going to do something good to cover up. God looks at the heart. You cannot pay off anything because the Lord has done it all. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. He relents from sending calamity. He does that only on the last consequence. If there's no other way to turn you around, he's going to push a consequence on you. He's going to push a calamity on you so that you will actually wake up. Because why? He doesn't want to lose you. You are too dear to him, too precious to him. He paid his life to rescue you. So he is going to do something, whatever it takes, to keep you safe in his hands. And if your heart is hard, he's going to make sure, he's going to soften it one way or the other. Sometimes it's going to hurt. You're going to get a couple slaps on the face before you wake up. But all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes it will hurt. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a secret assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. And let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. And let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. It's talking about the pastors and the preachers and the church people and the elders. Everybody, it's time to cry. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? And then here the Lord answers in verse 18. And after that, then the Lord was jealous for his land. See, as he saw the attitude of the hearts of the people, all of a sudden the Lord looks and he becomes jealous of his people. Okay, now we're talking. And now I'm jealous of you guys. And now I'm going to protect all around. I will, this is my people, guys. You won't touch it. Can be any nation around the world. You won't be able to do anything because these are my people. He says it with pride. These are my people. They have repented. They have a heart for me. Do you think you're going to do it? Going to not protect them? Of course I will protect them. Of course I will help them. Of course I will bless them. And afterward I will pour out my spirit. See, afterward. Afterward. See, we have been praying for revival in this place. In fact, I forgot to announce it last Sunday. Whoever wants to come to pray on this summertime here for now, July and August, 9:30 in the morning in my office, will be an open door there for you to come and pray. And we want to pray for revival. We want to pray that the Lord will actually wake us up. The world is pride parading out there, showing sin, doing all kinds of things, and the church is quiet. It's time for us to get upset because of sin. Now, when will that happen? When you and my hearts have all of a sudden surrendered or rendered to God. When we have repented, when we have all of a sudden had a change of mind, then yes, we will all of a sudden hate sin. And you will stand up. And if you have to go to jail, so be it. I will then afterward pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old man will dream dreams. Your young man will see visions. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is what the Lord wants. Not just have a, you know, hard-going church, or, oh, this is so difficult, life is hard. Well, okay, yeah, well, it's, today is Sunday, I might as well go to church because, you know, the sport team that I'm playing, that I'm cheering on is not playing this morning. I might as well just go to church. Once you catch fire, I tell you, things change. Once you catch a fire of the Lord, then you have no other priorities. It's the Lord, and it's the Lord, and it's the Lord for breakfast, for lunch, and for supper. And a night snack, by the way. Your old man will dream dreams. You have old man here. You should be dreaming. There are lots of old men here. You should be dreaming dreams already and tell them to us. What is the Lord telling? And for the teenagers in this room, well, it says, young man will see visions. Matthew, you got to see a vision. And once you have seen a vision in your dream overnight, you come here and you share it. It's probably important. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Now, also the New Testament, James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. I have a problem with double-mindedness sometimes. On one hand, I have, oh, Lord, I want to serve you all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, man, I need to have some money to buy a house. Then I look at the real estate people, and they say, well, $500,000 to get going. Forget about it. Then I go, I get upset. Man, I should have money to buy a house. I don't. And then again, do I really need a house? I'm living in a very nice place. I can see the CN Tower from where I am. Beautiful. Lots of grass and green. I have a soccer field. We are putting up a soccer field right now in the back of the house. I want to encourage you, my dear brothers. It is not good to have a double mind. We serve the Lord, and that should be enough. But yes, I agree, it's a fight. It's a fight. On one hand, we have the Lord, we want to serve the Lord. On the other hand, we want to do all the other things. It's just the way we are. Lord, have mercy. And that's why it says in verse 9, grieve. Mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom or to cry. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Now, isn't it interesting? The word grieve, verse 9, really means feel your misery. Feel your misery. How in the world, our flesh, how miserable it is. Check out what would you be capable of doing if eventually you wouldn't have a little bit of a conscience. And not just that. You and I as a Christian, sometimes we utter words of blessing, but guess what? Sometimes from the same mouth, from the same language, from the same tongue, we utter a word of curse. And when we do that, we think back, well, how come from the same font we can get out good water and bad water? It doesn't make sense. This church probably has a well. The well is working for many, many years, and it's good water coming, pushing out for a long, long time. We have it at our house there too. It's kind of hard to find, once you have a well, and that's the type of water that's going to come out, that's the same type of water after 60 years. Not all of a sudden some salty water and then all of a sudden some sweet water. I mean, if that happened, that must be a rare opportunity, a rare occasion. But I do understand that on the same way as it is with us, we have been born again. And if you have not been born again, that's the first thing we needed to do. Be born again. Repent. Change your mind and change your heart. And from that moment on, we will utter words of blessing. And it's going to be harder and harder to all of a sudden spill out a word of curse. Because we will remind, we have changed our minds. We have changed our hearts. We are not the same anymore. So it's about grief. It's about feel your misery. Now take a look at 2 Kings. Verse 20, verses 1 to 5. Excuse me. Ezekiel, he turned to the wall and he cried a lot. In those days, Hezekiah became ill. Now, we know the king Hezekiah was a great king. God kind of liked him. But he became ill and he was at the point of death. Then the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die." Now, well, that's quite a bad news on a nice Sunday afternoon. The prophet knocks at his door and says, "You know what? The Lord told me you're going to die." But that's what he said. That's what happened here. Not sure about the Sunday thing. But the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die and you will not recover." They're making sure, you know, you're going to die. That's it for you. So Ezekiel, now this is verse 2. Look what happened here. Ezekiel turned his face to the wall. Where did he go? He turned to the wall. He said, "To the wall, you know." And what did he do? And he prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah, he wept bitterly. He cried. I mean, he cried. His tears were falling. You should have seen that in a movie. Somebody would have filmed that at that time. Didn't have cameras then. Now, not verse 4. Now, before Isaiah had left the middle court, so he had come, he had said the bad news to Hezekiah. He was on his way leaving. In the meantime, he there in his room, he went against the wall and he started crying and crying bitterly, crying desperately before the Lord. All of a sudden, the Lord, hey, hold on. Change. We're going to change this whole thing. So before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears." We are talking about a sincerity here. We are not talking about, in Portuguese, you would say, lágrimas de crocodilo. Now, what that means basically is, how is when you cry, it's a fake type of cry? Something like that. Cannot use it in English, I guess, but it's a fake cry. Now, back in the day, at least in Brazil, we heard of many stories. Whenever there was a funeral, they would hire a bunch of ladies, because there was not too many people related to the person, so they would hire ladies to cry. True story. To cry and make a big thing up. Because, well, you know, it's a funeral. Nobody was crying, so they had hired a bunch of ladies just to cry professionally. They were getting paid by the hour to cry. Now, this is what the Lord says, the God of your father David says, "I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I heard your prayers and I saw your tears. I saw what led you to come to me. I saw the sincerity in your heart as you came to me that day. I understood you really meant it. Now, because of that, I saw your heart. Okay, now I'm going to change my mind." Now we know, In this case, the Lord gave him an extra 15 days. Oh, sorry, 15 years. Yeah, I gave him 15 years, not just 15 days. Now, we can debate if that was a good thing for Hezekiah or not. Some say it wasn't the best thing, because some bad things happened then after that. But you can touch the heart of God if your tears are sincere. If you really cry with a heart that is really surrendered to the Lord, then the Lord will listen. I saw the honesty with which you came. And I saw your tears. And when we come to the Lord in such a fashion, we will have the Lord's attention. I promise you that. We will have the Lord's attention. We need to come to Him in honesty. You know, I'm not praying to inform God, because He already knows what you need, what you have in your heart. He knows your prayer before you actually utter it. I'm not crying because I want to inform God about my state. He knows your state, by the way. He knows where your heart is. He knows what you're going through before you speak it out. But He sees your heart. You see, it's about the heart. It's about the sincerity and the honesty with which we come, the level of honesty. That's what counts. It's not my good things that I do for the Lord, guys, I tell you. It is about the heart. Now, there is also a wrong cry, just to give an example. Numbers chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Then all the people in the Israelite community, they raised their voices and cried out loud all that night. They complained to Moses and Aaron, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why the Lord is bringing us this land just to have us die in the battle?" Now, this is a wrong type of cry. This is an unfaithful cry. Joshua and Caleb. Now, they had gone in. They had seen the land. They had seen the whole thing. And so the other spies. But as they came back and reported it to Moses, what did they do? They said, "Yeah, the land is good, but you know, there are giants, there's this and there's that." And they managed to spread the news that it would not pay to invade the land of Jericho. Let's not even do it. Now, God saw that type of cry and said, "Because you cry that way, you are not entering the promised land." From that moment on, okay, you're going to be running around in the small desert of the Sinai. I have been there. It's not very big, but they were running around there for 40 years until everybody that was in this generation had to die. Once they were dead, the younger generation were willing to say the right thing, to do the right thing, and have the right heart. They entered the land. Psalm 6. "I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping." The psalmist says here, I think it's David, maybe not. "And drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fall because all of my foes. Away from me all you would do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping." Sometimes it is necessary to cry, to bold yourself out, just, "Lord, Lord, look at my life." And you don't cry because of the consequence of your sin. Because if you cry about the consequence, because now you have to endure the consequence of what you just did, that doesn't touch God. But if you cry because you offended the Lord, if you cry because you are really sincerely surrendering your life to the Lord, say, "Lord, I have done wrong. I have offended you." Psalm 39, verses 12. "Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. We're talking here, repentance has to do with a condition of extreme sadness. The very last book in the book of Revelation, here's what it says. You have forsaken the love you had first. Consider your heart. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Now, this is talking about the Lord when he comes. For some, it will be a complete surprise. I did not know that we only had this much time left. I was completely taken by surprise, and the Lord is insisting, saying, for those who are in the life of repentance, when the Lord comes, it will not be a surprise. You will not be caught by surprise. Yes, you might not know the day, the hour, but you know and you feel and you sense it's coming closer. The Lord is going to come. You know, I wake up sometimes in the morning, I look up to the skies and I say, look at the clouds. One day the Lord is going to come through those clouds. It's happening. It's going to happen. So if he comes, it will not be a surprise. But for some, I did not would now be now. I had no idea. Some people are completely lost with the clock of the Lord. They have no idea what time it is. Scientists will tell us that the business world, they will say, well, it's actually 3 minutes. 3 minutes to midnight. It is close. The time is close. I'm getting ready for a series on the coming of the Lord that's going to come later, but I hope you will have time. In Jesus' name. Be restored, rejoice, and live. Let me read Jeremiah. 15:19-20. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter wordy, not wordless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue you and to save you, declares the Lord. As our worship team comes up here, I want to encourage you to repent, but to take it sincerely, to find a time in your life and the quietness of your room or wherever you are, in the woods if you go out there to the lakes, take some time to cry. Because when the Lord sees the sincerity and the honesty with which you come to him, I tell you, you will get answers. He will hear you. He will answer you. He will bless you. He will fill you. He will revive you. And he will forgive you. And you have a changed mind. Lord Jesus, there is a victory somewhere. Because if you search you with all our hearts and all our minds, we will actually find you. Because you are there. These words, they are no lies. They are the truth. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you for what you have in store for us. Now examine our hearts and see if there is anything that is bad. Remove it. And Lord, as we continue on worshiping you this morning, I just pray Let our hearts be changed forever. Let's sing. I want to invite all of you to for downstairs. There is a potluck. If you have brought food, I tell you, we will eat. I can assure you that. And after we have eaten, that's going to be in about an hour or so, maybe 45 minutes, you want to engage, and I want to have you sitting right there by the table. You want to get a little piece of paper down there, and in the table, around the table where you're sitting, where you're eating, you will have an opportunity to talk a little bit about what we are going to be praying for. And we are going to be praying. And we will be done in 1 hour. Yes, may the Lord help us in that. But if it goes a little past, that's okay too. Now may the grace and the peace and the joy and the fellowship of God the Father and of Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit be with all of us today and forever. And Lord Jesus, we also want to thank you already for the food. When I give it, Lord, to you, it is a gift from you. It is a sign, Lord Jesus, of your great love for us. Thank you so very much. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time together as church. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace. May the Lord bless you.